There's the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you hear that bell, you know it's time to come to class. And for you, that means to get your Bible and turn up your radio and to follow along with us as we make this study. In our last class, we were reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I want to begin this class by reading from Colossians 1, beginning in verse 24 to the end of the chapter. It is some things that Paul wrote about how wonderful it is to be in Christ and the knowledge that brings remission of sins and to realize what it means to know Christ. And so we'll be looking at that. But then following that, we're going to be returning to the text that we're having from a Sunday school lesson we're looking at in Philippians chapter 3. But to begin with, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 24 in just a few moments. While you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Old Ben Loman, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by Sunday school lessons that he wrote for the Sunday schools of our grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And we're particularly looking at a Sunday school lesson he wrote for September the 2nd, 1923. And in this lesson, he's talking about how wonderful it is to know Christ and suggested we read from the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we read part of what he recommended us to read. I now want to complete that in this class, beginning in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, where Paul writes, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and fill up on my part that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which was given to me to youward, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now it hath been manifest unto his saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of his glory in this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, whereunto I labor also, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Elam writes, "How greatly beyond human wisdom and all description is the excellency of this knowledge, to know Christ and God is to obey them." John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. But now, if you will, turn to the book of Philippians. And I'll read to you from Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9, where Paul wrote, "Howbeit what things were gained unto me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." In this text, Paul names two distinct kinds of righteousness: the righteousness which is of the law, and the righteousness which is in through faith in Christ. Had men kept the law in sinless perfection from the cradle to the grave, never at any time in any way breaking it, righteousness would have been of the law, and salvation a matter of debt, Romans 4 and verse 4. But not one ever did this. Hence salvation of necessity must be by grace through faith in Christ. When men, as did the Jews, seek righteousness through the law which Christ fulfilled and abolished, they seek a righteousness of their own. That is, they seek their own way. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they go about to establish their own righteousness and refuse to submit to God's righteousness. We read in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, Paul, writing to his brother Jews, said, Brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Righteousness comes from the word right. Man's righteousness is what man teaches is right, and God's righteousness is what God teaches is right. The righteousness which is through faith in Christ is submitting to the gospel of Christ. That which God teaches through Christ, it must be done. There can be no righteousness through faith in Christ in disobedience to Christ. Faith in Christ works through love. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Christ was righteous in obedience to God and was baptized in order to fulfill all of God's righteousness. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15. As Christ was righteous because he did the will of God, so everyone who does righteousness is righteous to him. John 3 and verse 7. Everyone who through faith in Christ does the will of God, which is working righteousness, is acceptable to God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. Hence salvation is not by works done in righteousness which we did ourselves, that is, which we devise or invent, or seek through the fulfilled and abolished law, but it is through faith in Christ, which faith leads to repentance of all sins and into the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, not by works of the law, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. When Titus tells us that we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration, he is saying we're not saved by our own goodness according to our own works, but by baptism. And Paul, in writing this to Titus, takes baptism out of that category of works that we do to be saved. Some say they don't want to be saved by baptism because they do not want to be saved by works. But Paul wrote Titus and said, not by works, but by baptism. This Paul's faith in Christ led him to do, for Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. We read in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, where Paul writes, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Paul did all this and became conformed unto Christ's death, even in order to know him and the power of his resurrection. and the fellowship of his suffering, if by any means he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But notice verse 12. This is Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained, or already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Not that he had already attained, or had already been made perfect. With all Paul's attainments, powers of mind and inspiration, and excellence of character, he had not yet been made perfect, had not yet been saved in heaven. He still had to buffet his body and keep it under control, all his fleshly appetites and passions, lest by any means, after he had preached the gospel to others, he should be rejected. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. All preachers and teachers must live today as Paul lived. Paul's life is a wonderful lesson to all preachers, elders, and other Christians. But Paul spoke of one thing. Look at the book again at the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's famous declaration, but this one thing I do, deserves special attention. What was this one thing? Was it to become a great scholar with many glittering decrees to his name? He was a scholar, but this one thing was much higher than that of being a great scholar. Was it to become a great preacher in the eyes of men? In the eyes of God, he was a great preacher. But this one thing was not to become a famous preacher or a renowned evangelist. Was it to become a great orator? He was an orator. But this one thing was far more than being an orator. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. One can be a great orator and be nothing. Was this one thing to become a great debater? Did he desire to boast on his numerous public discussions? He had discussed before rulers and kings the great cause of Christ, and woe to his antagonist. But this was not it. Was it to become famous through the number of sermons he preached, addresses he had delivered, places he'd held meetings, and the number of additions to the church he had made, or the number of persons he had baptized? No. He preached many sermons in many places, including private homes and prison houses and synagogues and shops and courthouses and schoolhouses and in great cities, and had taught publicly and privately both day and night. But his one aim looked beyond that. He could not have obtained unto this one thing without preaching and teaching and doing all he did. The one thing itself was to reach heaven and to be saved by the grace of God. Hence he said, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If all preachers, elders, and other teachers in the church would follow after this one thing, there would be no corrupt preachers and teachers, and the church would move forward in wonderful progress. No heart is right in the sight of God which has not this one thing before it. It would require a volume to give a complete summary of Paul's life, but his preaching and teaching, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament, if you include Hebrews, much of the New Testament, from Acts 9 to James is occupied in relating his work and giving his